There is one big winner in the Lance Armstrong fiasco.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. And in case you missed it, Lance Armstrong gave his big interview to Oprah Winfrey last night in which he confessed to just about everything.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Yes or no? Was one of those banned substances EPO?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did you ever use any other banned substances like testosterone, cortisone, or human growth hormone?
Yes.
Now, the whole ordeal is a disaster for Lance Armstrong, but for Oprah's struggling cable network, well, that's a different story. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The disgraced cyclist's landmark interview was promoted on the network as Oprah and Lance Armstrong. Maybe putting Oprah's name first isn't such a coincidence.
It's important to Oprah because it's one of the first major gets, as they call it, in the business of a story of wide interest.
Media analyst Hal Vogel says the Oprah Winfrey Network has limped along. It's grabbed just a tiny fraction, 325,000 on an average night, of the roughly 7 million viewers who once made a daily date with the Oprah Winfrey Show. Getting Armstrong's broadcast confession reminds viewers of what an important media figure Winfrey still is.
In terms of lasting effect, it's a nice blip, but she's going to have to do many more of these types of interviews in order to attract a sustainable audience.
Winfrey's got other irons in the fire. A new scripted series from TV star Tyler Perry reportedly debuts in May. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Greek parliament is launching a criminal investigation into the country's former finance minister, George Papakonstantinou. He's accused of tampering with a list of suspected tax evaders. The BBC's Mark Lowen joins us from Athens with the latest. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, so remind us about this list. What is this?
Well, it's a very murky tale. It's got ministers, you've got alleged cover-ups, suspected tax evasion. It all goes back to 2010, when France's then finance minister, Christine Lagarde, obtained a list of over 2,000 Greeks who held bank accounts at a Swiss bank. And she passed it to her then Greek counterpart, George Papakonstantinou, with the implication that many of those on the list were suspected of evading taxes. Now, Mr. Papakonstantinou and his successor are accused of not really acting upon the list and not doing anything about it. And then it was leaked to an investigative journalist last autumn, and three names from the original were missing. All three were relatives of Mr. Papakonstantinou. He denies doctoring the list. But what Parliament voted on late last night was that a criminal investigation should now be set up to probe whether Mr. Papakonstantinou tampered with the list or mishandled it. And if he did, then he would face trial and potential prison sentence of up to 10 years.
Well, at its core, it seems like this is just about tax evasion, that Greeks don't want to see politicians engaged in tax evasion, right?
It is very largely to do with that. And tax evasion remains rife here in Greece. It's long been a national sport in this country. It's estimated to cost the Greek economy about 15 billion euros, about $20 billion a year. But it is about more than that, really. It is about tax evasion. It is about the accountability of Greek politicians. I have never been in a country where there is such absolute hatred of the political establishment as here in Greece right now. Ordinary Greeks feel that their politicians have let them down, and they see this, Lagarde's scandal, as absolutely representative of that.
The BBC's Mark Lowen in Athens. Thanks, as always.
Pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up almost 3% in Tokyo after Sony announced plans to sell its U.S. headquarters on Madison Avenue in New York City for $1.1 billion. That sent shares in the electronics company up 12% in Tokyo. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 84 points to close at 13,596.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Mayors from cities across the U.S. are meeting in Washington this week, and one big item on their agenda is gun violence. Turns out mayors have become one of the biggest lobbying forces in favor of new gun laws. Marketplace's David Gura reports from Washington.
More than 800 mayors belong to Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Its stated goal is protecting the rights of Americans to own guns while fighting to keep criminals from possessing guns illegally.
For them, it's not abstract. For federal officials, it often is too abstract.
John Feinblatt is chief policy advisor to New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the group's co-chair. This week, many mayors have been on Capitol Hill, and Feinblatt says they'll be back.
And they will be saying, why shouldn't we make our country safer? Can't we respect the Second Amendment and at the same time have sensible gun laws?
Lee Drutman, a senior fellow with the Sunlight Foundation, says on paper, the group is outmatched.
The NRA completely dwarfs what the gun control advocates are spending.
But just in the last month, since the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary, 111 new mayors have signed on. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now a program note, Kai Rizdahl will be hosting Marketplace live from Chicago later today, looking at what it takes to make it in America. And we will pick up on that theme next week when I'll be broadcasting from WLRN in Miami starting Tuesday morning. Be sure to tune in. And finally, to a new way to wake up in case this show doesn't jolt you out of bed in the morning. A new alarm clock will go on sale later this year, and its snooze button gives you a small electric shock. But don't worry, it is just a small fraction of the 50,000 volts used in police taser guns, if that makes you feel any better. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.